Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You gotta be the drippiest fullback.
That's what I do, baby.
You either got the best drip for a fullback.
I gotta put that Cali swag on. You know what I'm saying?
It is June 6, 2020, and we are live on the Pro Football Chase podcast with another NFL player on the line. Today, it's Falcons fullback Keith Smith. So, Keith, thanks again for joining me. How are you doing today?
Man, I'm good. I'm blessed. You know, I'm safe and I'm healthy, and that's all I can ask for at this moment, man.
That's good to hear, brother. But talking about your path to the NFL after a standout career as a linebacker at San Jose State, and right now, currently, you rank fifth for most tackles in the FBS with 476 when I check, so you still are having your presence felt as that productive tackling machine in college. But you signed with the Cowboys as an undrafted free agent in 2014, eventually made the switch to fullback after the 2015 season. So can you speak on your first couple of years in Dallas and what led to that position change?
My first couple of years in Dallas were somewhat of a roller coaster, man. And it was a lot of uphill fighting. I was battling just between beating out draft picks and everything that goes into the politics and the business of the league. But ultimately, I spent a lot of my time doing scout team work during my time on practice squad, and when I was on the active roster, I was kind of just the Swiss Army knife doing everything, literally fullback, tight end, receiver, running back, whatever they needed at the moment. And it actually ended up panning out that I started making plays against our starting defense and just kind of catching the eye of the offensive coaches, and just led to them thinking about making a position change. And that was what they concluded after my second year with Dallas. They approached me at exit meetings and were talking about trying me out at fullback. It was actually probably the last week before this season was over. I think it was 2016 season. And my running back coach came up to me at practice and was just like, "How do you feel about the running back room? You think you can handle that?" And I was just kind of laughed it off. And he was like, "I'm dead serious. Like, we're talking about it in as a staff, and it might be a good look for you." And I was like, you know what? At that point, all the stuff I had been through, from getting released and put back on practice squad and active roster and just going through that cycle, I was like, whatever's going to get me on the field, that's what I'll do, and just to help my team. And that's all I was focusing on doing, was contributing to my team. And if that was the position that I had to do that in, then I was all for it.
Man, Keith, you're the epitome of a team player, going from the practice squad on and off with a lot of uncertainty, unsure if you were going to be able to eventually make it on that active roster in Dallas, which you did, and you thrived as the starting fullback for the Dallas Cowboys in their efficient rushing attack. But I have to ask you, Keith, What was the most challenging part of your transition from linebacker to fullback?
I'll probably say just the terminology and kind of shifting my mindset from a defensive perspective to an offensive perspective. And it's kind of like going from English to Spanish, you know, just learning the whole playbook, learning just the lingo and everything from that aspect, but also kind of rewiring your thinking process as a running back versus a linebacker. And I think that really gave me a slight advantage on knowing just both sides and just kind of what approach defenses were coming at us as an offense. And but it was probably the most difficult thing was just getting the terminology and the playbook and everything down, just understanding pass protections and everything from that side. But I will say that it did help me being a defensive player because I knew the different fronts and looks and stuff, and just more tendency wise, it's helped me. But that was probably, like I said, the most difficult was just the terminology and playbook.
We know you're a fullback and you've officially made that switch. And one of the things that we've noticed in the NFL, Keith, is the usage of fullbacks across the league, it's declined in recent years. So what are you doing to make the position relevant again? I see you got some swagger with you. What are you trying to bring to that fullback platform?
Yeah, you know, I had said in that last question I had to switch my mindset, but I kind of held on to that linebacker mentality of just being on the attack and out hitting everybody. And that's kind of what I brought to the table as a fullback, was I was always on the offensive and trying to attack and hit defenders and not getting hit. And I think that just between that mindset and everything that I bring from the defensive side to the offensive side, it helps. But also as a fullback, like you said, just from the declining culture of fullback, I kind of created the whole Make Fullbacks Great Again. It's a clothing line, but it's really a culture. Like you said, the culture is what is the essence of the clothing brand, just because it's to uplift and acknowledge all the fullbacks around the league, because we kind of are the non-glory position and we don't get that much love and we're highly overlooked. And I think that when you're a fullback, you understand like your contribution. And I think your teammates and teams who do possess a fullback understand what we bring to the table and how we're just kind of jacks of all trades, and we do everything. And I think that's part of the evolution of the position is learning to be able to do everything. And I think that's where it's going towards. But if you looked at statistics and everything, we're not really on the decline. We're kind of resurging back in the league, and a lot of the top guys are making a big name for themselves. And I'm actually excited because next week, on June 17th, not next week, so it's in two Wednesdays, June 17th, I've been doing this online virtual book storytelling program, and I'm collabing with Make Fullbacks Great Again. It's going to be a MFGA, that's the hashtag, MFGA, MFGA Books with Beef collab. And I'm going to have Kyle Juszczyk on and Derek Watt with us, and we're gonna be giving away some free books and some free MFGA gear. So I'm excited about that. But just the what it represents is just kind of just bringing us together as a brotherhood within the brotherhood, and just making sure that we hold ourselves, our standards high as a position, and having each other's back, you know, because there's only a few of us left in the league. So we're trying to build upon that and change that a little bit in the positive way.
That's great, man. I think you're doing some good stuff, and you got that event going on with other fullbacks raising awareness. Man, I personally love the fullback position. I like the dirty work that the fullbacks do. They don't get the credit. They don't get the praise, but you all certainly deserve it. And now that you mention it, Keith, after this podcast interview, I'm going to have to go buy myself some merchandise from Make Fullbacks Great Again. So you can expect an order from me, man.
I appreciate that, man. Yeah, everything's appreciated, dog.
Yes, sir. Well, I'll for sure get that done and also put it up in the post when I promo this interview. Get all the followers on board with Make Fullbacks Great Again. So for sure, Keith, thanks for bringing that up. I need some more merchandise anyways. But as we get on with this interview, bro, you had a one-year stint with the Raiders. I saw that. And then you signed with the Falcons on September 2nd, 2019. You appeared in all 16 games. And then you earned yourself a three-year contract extension this past March. So I have to ask you, brother, what do you like most about the Falcons organization and the culture they offer?
Man, that's just it right there, is the culture. And our motto is brotherhood. And I don't think there's been a team that I've been on that's exemplified that at this level of football as much as the organization has. And just when I got in there, you know, like you said, it was September 2nd. So it was literally the week of week one, straight off of my stint with Oakland. And
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It was kind of like, didn't know what to expect, but when I got in there, everybody welcomed me with open arms, man. And it was just like, it was as if I had been there for years. And just the cohesiveness of that locker room as teammates and players, and also the lack of divide between players and coaches. I think that was big to me, like seeing that a lot of the players really, really liked the coaching staff and just appreciated them. And Dan Quinn is such a genuine person and coach. And I think that's kind of what you've seen in our play throughout that season, because it didn't really go as we had planned at first. But when we knew that Coach Quinn's job was on the line, and just we had to play for him almost in a sense, it kind of showed in our play, and we actually had a few big games that we won, which weren't a surprise to us because we knew what we were capable of. But we finally actually played more to our potential. I don't think we've reached it yet, but we're making strides towards that. And I just love the organization as a whole. It's all about family. It's such a family atmosphere there, and it's hard to establish that when in such a business like this that's so cutthroat and really unpredictable at times.
Yeah, I can imagine that. And the Falcons, they released some new uniforms earlier this offseason. Are you digging those?
Yeah, man, I'm excited about them, man. I think they're pretty dope. They're a newer type look, new age, but I think they're very prime to be swagged out. And if you know me, I like my swag, so I'm excited about that.
Yes, sir. Those are pretty nice. I like them myself. But going back to the gridiron, the Falcons signed Todd Gurley in free agency, and we all know the impact player he is. And looking at his tape, it's not hard to realize why he's a top running back in the NFL. So for you, Keith, knowing that you're going to be working very closely with Todd in Dirk Cutter's offensive rushing attack, what stands out to you about his running ability?
I think just how smooth Todd is, man. He's like a big, smooth back, and a lot of people don't want to tackle him. He's a big body, and he moves well. And I think that once he gets into our offense and really gels with our offensive line and me and the receivers and everybody, I think it's going to be something special, man. And It's crazy to think that people have so much shade to throw on him just because he didn't have the best year of his career last year. And I'm excited, man, because I know he's going to come with a chip on his shoulder just to prove everybody wrong and all the naysayers and everything. It's like you don't achieve the level of status that he's achieved for nothing. And I think people are forgetting that, and I'm excited for what he's about to bring to the table, man.
And speaking on that offense, Matt Ryan under center, you now have a dynamic receiving corps led by Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley, and then newly acquired tight end Hayden Hurst. So Keith, man, you're loaded across the board on offense. What type of potential does that offense have this season?
Man, there's no ceiling, I think, on what we're capable of doing, and that's the most exciting thing. It's kind of like you're itching to get in there already and start building that that rapport and everything that you need to be successful, because we have everything that we need. And looking at it on paper, it's scary of what we're going to be able to accomplish. And I'm excited to get into training camp and everything and start putting it together.
And you're speaking on the cohesiveness, getting to know your new teammates, and that has been all virtual with the NFL's virtual offseason program due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So briefly, how have you handled that virtual offseason program?
It's been cool, man. It's definitely different sitting in front of a computer instead of sitting in a legitimate meeting room. But I think it's something that hopefully we can build upon in the future, because I think that guys have gotten a lot from just the meetings and stuff. We've been going through installs and not only that, but we've been working one-on-one with our coaches here and there. And also we've been talking about a lot of other stuff, even in these meetings, just being on them so much and talking about life stuff and everything that's going on in society and everything. So it's actually been pretty cool, man, just to experience this. And we're kind of like pioneers in this effort, because it's all so brand new.
Yeah, and that's well said, Keith. And I've seen you on social media being very active about pushing for change amid this tough time, the hardships that we've gone through. And I see you being a vocal leader. And so as we close out this podcast interview, Keith, I want to give you the platform and opportunity to give, you know, a positive message of hope and unity during this time. So what would that be?
Yeah, you said a key word there was hope, and I think that's what a lot of us need right now is just hope and belief that there is change coming. And I think if we can cohesively bind together as a human race in one direction, in win-win, everybody wins mentality, then that's where the change is going to come. I think that there's a lot of things that I think this is a deeper issue than just police brutality and racism. I think this is a human race issue, and just everybody having judgments and opinions, predetermined opinions over others before they even give anything a chance. You know what I'm saying? And I think that it's just a time to understand that we need to be understanding of everyone. You know what I'm saying? And hear people's feelings, thoughts and feelings, and people, that's kind of what's created this whole thing, is people want to be heard. African Americans want to be heard, and we're being ignored, and it's not okay. And just in the police brutality side of things, there's been no responsibility at all. And that's what's created this pattern, is the lack of responsibility in holding these people who have done these terrible things to this race. And just aside from the lack of responsibility being put on them, there's ignorance of just this issue. And I think that's all coming to light through this process. And I think that, sadly to say, it has forced us to see riots and violent force to promote this change. And it's crazy, man. It's a crazy time, especially amidst the COVID-19 everything. But God willing, I'm praying, and I think that people need to really buckle down on their faith and pray on this, and know that God just wants us all to love each other. And if we all operate from love, there is no social justice issues. There is no racism. There is none of that. But too many people operate from their negative experiences and negative things that they've gone through, and they put it on each other. And I think that's where a lot of the change gets to come, is treating every new moment as a new moment and being present to it and allowing it to unfold as it will, and not putting your expectations or prejudgments on anything, and just treating everybody equally, and how they were born to be treated according to God. And I think that's, if everybody can continue on that path and start to bind together and not divide, I think that's where the change will come.
That is well said right there, brother. I too am a man of faith. I believe it starts with our belief, our faith in God, that, you know, all of us can love one another regardless of race, ethnicity, color, background. And it starts with dialogue, man. It starts with us being willing to listen to make change. And I think that's the most important thing right now, is to not promote divide, not promote ignorance, but yet embrace each other during this time, and we can move forward and make a change, man. And it's people like you who are making change with your platform, with your voice as a professional athlete, man. So I have the utmost respect for what you're doing, both on and off the field, bro. So again, thank you so much for joining the podcast today. I hope you have a blessed rest of the offseason. I look forward to seeing you take the field this coming season.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you for having me, man. It's awesome.
All right, brother. Hey, well, blessings to you and your family, man, and we'll be in contact.
All right, likewise. Take care.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.